ask Jamie Vandiver to come up. If you don't know Jamie, Jamie is one of our elders here. And as a body, we take seriously the qualifications in Timothy and Titus for leadership in the church. And Jamie, to me, is one of those guys that exemplifies that. And one of the things that elders are supposed to be is able to teach. So in the future, you're probably going to see a little bit more of these guys up here periodically proclaiming truth. The other thing that is one of the qualifications is the elder has a good reputation with outsiders. And I'm going to tell a little story on Jamie here. Some of you know I have an 18-year-old sports car, a little Honda. And with 18-year-old cars, they periodically need stuff. And I was on a forum searching for a particular part, and it turns out in Milton, there's a guy that loves these cars more than life. And so he had some parts that I needed. So I ended up out at his house and just was talking to him. He was a former E6 pilot in the Navy, and we got to talking, and he was up at Whiting in 2012 and 2013. And I just said, hey, do you by chance know a guy named Captain Vandiver? And he said, yeah, he was my CO up there. And he paused for a moment. I didn't push any of this, but he said, you know, he was the only CO that I ever had that cared more about his people than about his promotion. So that is a good reputation with outsiders. So, and I just want to put that out there for you all, too, as you recognize, as you go through life, we all have different platforms and different amounts of authority that God gives us, but he gives us that authority to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and to make a difference for him where we are. So, Jamie.
Thanks. Is it me that's causing feedback? It sounds a little loud. Yeah. No one wants to hear me that loud. So when I speak up here, then you get to figure out how I got my call sign in the Navy, and it's Kermit. See? Yeah. I was talking on the radio on the ship one day, and someone came out like, that sounds like Kermit the Frog. And I listened to myself. I'm like, oh, it does. That's nothing. Yeah, you're just stuck with that. So I used to make my notes big, you know, because I had pilot eyes. I was very proud of that. But so as they started getting a little worse, I'd make my notes bigger and bigger so I could read them without glasses. But it takes too much paper to get one word per page. So I have to work off my non-pilot eyes anymore. So, good morning. It's really a pleasure to be here and to talk. This thing has been brewing in me for probably almost a year now. And what I'll share with you this week and next. And it's been going and going and going. And I stood up here and I've been reading this book. Are you familiar with Simon Sinek? Any of you youngsters read? He did this great TED Talk, which was called Start With Why, and kind of like, why do I do what I do? You know, and it's kind of job making. And so I was rethinking about that and this week, and I thought, why am I up here today? Is it because I drew the short straw and it was my turn? Maybe. Was it because I love Brett and we need to give him some rest sometimes? And just, yes. But really, as I thought about it, the reason I am up here today is because of what John 1:4 says, or 1:1-4. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So I do get something out of it, because at the end it's, that my joy may be complete, because I get to share with you what I have seen and what I've heard and what I've felt as I've walked with the Lord and things he's taught me. As I stand here, there are many facets to knowing the love of God, you know, and we can't talk about them all today. So I'm just going to give you the facet that I've been looking at. And one of my favorite quotes is from A.W. Tozier, and he says, "Others before me have gone much farther into the holy mysteries than I have done. But if my fire is not large, it is yet real. And there are those who can light their candle at its flame." And so that's my prayer and my hope as we start, that what I share, it's, you know, it may not be as deep as you want to go, but it's real. And hopefully you can light your flame at it if the flame's a little dim. And we do live in a, we live in a time that is kind of crazy. And we, in our Bible study of, I've been going through Romans, and when the guys at our OCF study want to go through Romans, I'm like, you know, it's Romans, you know, and I'm going to have to lead it. And it's been great. And so anyways, we're in chapter 8. And if you know Romans, in chapter 8, in the middle of it, it talks about how, you know, we have this great hope, but that all of creation, including us, is groaning inwardly as we await eagerly for the adoption as sons, for creation to be set free from corruption. And I feel that, you know, we, you know, if any time in our, in my history, am I groaning and waiting, it's now. And so what more important message to know than to hear and talk about the, knowing the love of God. So, Brett's, so my opening prayer, it's, I'm going to pray because I need it to calm me down. And Brian sang it last week. It was a song that I sang over my kids when they were small. And so just bow with me as I pray this song. "I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. It is sweet, sweet sound in your ear." Amen. I'm going to go down a rabbit trail today. So it's an intentional rabbit trail. And so rabbit trails, we've been talking, Brett's been talking, going, taking us through Exodus. And so we've been marching along to Exodus. And now, so when we do this at home in our Bible study, if there's something I think we need to camp out on a little bit longer, go a little bit deeper, you know, I go on an intentional rabbit trail. And I call it that because it's a rabbit trail because it goes off the course of Exodus, but it's intentional because I know where I'm leading, where it's going. So, we talked over the last couple of weeks, we talked about the Song of Moses a couple of weeks ago, and Brett talked about how we are saved for worship and relationship. And that, as I was thinking that, you know, and he said that worship is more than singing, it's our life. And I wrote in my notes that sometimes we need to hear God sing over us. So that was 2 weeks ago. And so last week we talked about the wilderness, that the Israelites were camped out on, you know, they had oceanfront property, you know, and at the Red Sea, and Moses like, "Let's go to the desert, let's go to the wilderness." And so they went in and they kind of grumbled and complained. And we talked about trials and what those do. And Brett talked about how they foster our dependency on him and humility. And so I just want to, but I want to look at those in the aspect of knowing the love of God. And then in knowing God's love, the river of life that flows out of us. So we're going to talk about knowing God this week, and then we're going to talk about the river of life flowing out of us next week. So taking on, talking about knowing the love of God, many of you, probably Chris is over here like, "Jamie has bit off more than he can chew." And I would agree with him, you know, and as I think about it, a couple songs came to mind. One was, we sang last week, "Sooner Count the Stars," and the chorus goes, "No praise is high enough, no thanks is deep enough, no life is long enough to tell of all you've done. No shout is loud enough, no words are strong enough, no song is sweet enough to sing your love." For those of you who kind of like hymns more, it would be "The Love of God." And it said, "Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." So I have a couple props up here today, and one of them is a tissue. Because how can you, we have been extravagantly loved. I mean, fully, completely. And when you experience that, how can, you know, how can you talk about it without my eyes leaking? And it's probably going to happen today, so, you know, just be forewarned. All right. Thanks. Thanks for permission, Chris. So when you talk about facts, it's easy. We'll talk about some concepts of what does God's love look like. So those are more, you know, we think in the facts. And then we're going to talk about some feelings. And some of you guys get kind of squirmy about that stuff. And it's really hard to convey feelings with words. So sometimes I convey them with tears. Sometimes we try and use illustrations, but illustrations can fall short sometimes. And as an example, Chris and I and some of the other guys shared with the youth group, kind of told our story and stuff. And I was trying to make a point one day when I was telling my story to the youth group that Jody and I were of a different age. And I illustrated this by the fact that I said Jody is a little bit younger than my baby sister. And I remember when I was at the Naval Academy in college, coming home and seeing my sister with her friends, and they were cute, but they're new junior high, yuck. And you know, so that's kind of how I presented where she's younger than me. And one of the kids went home and told their parents that I married a junior high kid. And so sometimes illustrations really fall short. And so hopefully we won't fall short like that today. The scripture I'm going to start with today is from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And it's familiar to you all because Brett often uses it as a benediction. And it speaks of the love of God which surpasses knowledge. And thus we pray for strength to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth. It speaks of a love which is beyond all we could hope or imagine. So I'm going to just read it for you right now. For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in his inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend or know with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think or imagine, according to the work, the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I chose the title Knowing God's Love because it's different, I think, than believing God's love. And as I tried to come up with some examples to explain my thought, throughout last night I was thinking, and knowing is like a belief that's been tested and found to be sure. And so I give you this example as to help make my point is when I was a new Christian at 15, I was told that God was good. I'm like, okay, I believe it. So I believed it. I tucked it in my pocket, put it up here in my brain housing group, and I believed it. Probably 6 to 9 months later, and then over the next 3 years, I learned to know it. Mom was diagnosed with cancer. They gave her 3 months to live. My junior in high school, she fought it for 18 months, made it through, and then passed away within the same week that I turned 18, graduated from high school. And so she passed away. And within the month, I was a plebe at the Naval Academy, and I was going to go through one of the hardest years of my life at the Naval Academy. So that scripture of Rome from Romans 8:28 that says, you know, for God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That was a belief, and I clung to it hard. And it was an anchor, and it held. And so throughout those 3 years, as I clung to a truth about my Savior, and found that it was good and true, and I will never, ever not know that God is good. So it's a little different knowing and, you know, believing and knowing. So I do want to talk about knowing God today. Notes and following my notes. I'm quoting James Boyce because he sometimes those really smart guys, they say it way better than, you know, I can. And then if I quote him, you know, I may get some street cred from you guys because he's saying the same thing I'm trying to say. So let me read what he says about Ephesians chapter 3. He says, this passage is speaking about Christ's love for us and Paul's praise that we might comprehend, know its greatness. A verse later, he is calling it love that surpasses knowledge. If it surpasses knowledge, how can we grasp, how can we know it? And so Boyce goes on to say, first, although we can't exhaustively know the love of Christ, nevertheless, we can know it's true. We cannot know all of Christ's love for us. We can know that what we perceive as Christ's love is truly love. The love of Christ that we know at the beginning of our Christian life is the same love that we will know, though hopefully more fully at the end. Second, we are to grow in an awareness of that love, particularly through the routine hardships, suffering, persecutions, things we talked about last week, those trials of life. And then Stott goes on to say that the love of Christ is broad enough to encompass all mankind, long enough to last for eternity, deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner, and high enough to exalt him to heaven. So if we're to know what God, you know God's love, then I want to talk first about what it looks like. And in we can easily get this wrong. In our culture, culture would tell us that love is what makes me most comfortable and happiest. And I think the Bible paints a little different picture of that. And so I want to look at the picture that Christ paints, that God paints through his word. And then I'm going to share a song with you that it really demonstrated for me how much Christ loves me. And then I'm going to tell you a story of an adventure Jody and David and I had this summer that demonstrated, you know, for us Christ's love. So to answer the question, well, what is God? What does the love of God look like? And so all of us, you know, if I didn't address the empty cross, then you'd go, well, what? He missed a big point there. So, you know, it's the empty cross. You know, it's central to our sure hope. And we sang about it today, and I really appreciate Toby. I had to ask Toby to do a song he'd never done before, so he played Grace Alone. And so sometimes we just sing those words, and they make us feel good, but we don't really know what the word said. So I'm going to read a couple of them to you. And this is about, you know, that empty cross. So he left, in the, I think the second stanza, you left your home to seek out the lost. You knew the great and terrible cost. But Jesus, your face was set. Why? He loved me, because he loved you. I worked my fingers down to the bone, but nothing I did could ever atone. Jesus, you paid my debt. By your blood, I have redemption and salvation. Lord, you died that I might reap what you have sown. And I rose that I might be a new creation. I am born again by grace and grace alone. And if we don't start there, then we really can never, ever know the love of Christ for us. So I'm going to look at it in a couple of different ways, different facets, as I said. And one is through looking at some of what I've been reading the Bible with my ears. So Jody, I read stories, I listen to them, you know, Jody doesn't count that as truly reading. And so I read with my ears. And so I've been reading through the Bible with my ears and this year through YouVersion Bible app. And the Bible Project had read through the Bible plan on it. And it was really good because at the beginning of each of the sections, they did one of their drawings and explained it to you from the Bible Project. And it's been really helpful to me to go, oh, that's what they're talking about, you know? So it really has been helpful. So the last few months I've been flogging through the prophets. It is a slog, and it's, you know, it's exile, it's wrath, it's chastisement, it's going to another country and living there under an evil empire. And it's just not a fun, it's kind of a slog through there. And then in our Bible study at home, we've been talking through Romans, and at the beginning of Romans, you know, we're kind of familiar with that. You've heard about how everybody's without excuse because God through creation has made himself known. And I'm like, yeah. And so I was kind of excited about that. But when you get into chapter 2, Paul, God through Paul, starts poking me in the chest because he's not talking so much about those lost prodigals. He's talking about all the law keepers, the people that are trying to live righteously, but are, you know, by keeping the law, but are still so far away from the Father. And so I was kind of getting beat up because he's telling me I'm a sinner, I'm a really bad sinner, and I sin a lot. And then we finally got to chapter 5, and I'm in Christ. And then we got to chapter 8, and that's where we're. And the chapter 8 starts with, come on, 8:1. Yeah, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And then it ends with, there's no separation. There's nothing that can separate us from them. And in there, in the between, it's like, there's no defeat. We're more than conquerors. So I finally got to the good news of chapter 8. So why, you know, when I look at these, how do the prophets, how does this Paul poking me in the chest with my sin, how is that a demonstration of God's love for me? And it's, you know, that for the people, the wrath for the people of Israel. What did Brett hit a little bit last week on Deuteronomy 8, I believe, as you finished up. I've talked and lost my notes, so good. So at the end, as the Israelites went into the wilderness, I think you said you were talking about how the warning that came out of Deuteronomy 8 of it said, "Take care lest you forget the Lord when things go well for you in the promised land. You know, it's going to be, you know, all these houses and the fruit, everything they didn't do, and they're going to go, yeah, we did all this and we forgot our God." And so he gets that warning, and then in Judges 2, it happened, and it says, "When there arose another generation that did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel, and the people did evil and served other gods." And later in Judges, it said, "Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." So why wrath? Why captivity? It's because he loves us so much, and he wants to teach us to love him again, because they'd forgot. And it's the same way with, you know, in Romans, why do I have to know that I'm such a vile sinner? Just to make me feel bad? No, I got to know I'm lost. I got to get a thirst for him before I yield to his wooing. I got to know. I was reading something about John Piper, and his dad was an evangelist, and it's like the saving part is easy. It's the convincing them that they're lost is the hard part. And so that's what kind of Romans did. And why did he have to poke me in the chest? Because he loved me so much. He wants me to know my state so that I can come to him and experience his love for me. At the end of Romans, or in Romans 8, there's another, he talks also about adoption. And that's been rattling around in my head since we went through J.I. Packard and the Knowing God and how important adoption is for us. But in there, it's the idea that we are adopted. We are sons and daughters. And sons in the sense that it says in here that we are heirs. And also, that was where they first used, you know, we could call him Abba, Daddy, Father. So but there's this tough, tough love of God, but then there's this really, really tender love of God. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that tender love of God that I've known this over this last year. J.I. Packard, when he was writing in Knowing God, he wrote on adoption, and he said, "Adoption is a family idea conceived in terms of love and viewing God as Father. In adoption, God takes us into his family and fellowship. He establishes us as his children and heirs. Closeness, affection, and generosity are the heart of the relationship. To be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater." So you can see that there's variations in the manner which God loves us, but there's no change in the degree to which he loves us. We are totally, fully loved. So I'm going to show you a video coming up next, but I'm going to introduce it a little bit. It's a it's a song. It's made me cry. Ever since it started making me cry, it makes me cry about every time. So I'm having her sing it to you, because if I read it to you, I couldn't get through the lyrics. It's called Runaway by Jess Ray. And this is the part where, you know, the emotional part where I tell you, you know, I hold up something to you and I go, isn't this beautiful? And you look at your neighbor and go, that's an ugly baby. You know, and I risk that you might think that something that is so precious to me is, it's like, what is he getting all wound up about? So hopefully, you know, you will see what I see through this as I share with you how God loved me. To introduce the first time I've heard this, it's on a playlist, and I give a shout out to my college two kids, to Daniel and Leanne, as they watch this, that they've shared a lot of music with me, and some of it's been really great. And as Brett mentioned last week, you know, I'm not a big rap guy, but there's some solid lyrics in the rap music, and I'm a words guy, so I'm like, okay. So I'd had this on my playlist for a while, and I was over at work at Whiting, or at Softly Field, and sometimes work is drudgery. It's just another day. It's even worse now in this COVID-19 kind of thing. And so I went to the gym because I just needed to get away. I need to work out. And so I'm at the gym, and I usually listen to a book because it kind of distracts me. So I'm on the elliptical trying to listen to the book, and it won't work. Won't play. So I go to music. It won't play. I'm like, you know, just more frustration. So I stop. I go outside. It's a cool spring day. And I take a walk. It's funny. Everything starts working again. So I'm listening to the playlist, and I'm going along. It's spring. It's Softly Field. There's a prison out there, but we'll, you know, just look. But it was just like this walk in Eden. It was as this song came on, and I let myself feel the words as God sings over me. And it's the song of a little girl who's about to run away. It's a prodigal kind of thing. But you don't have to be a prodigal as you listen to the words to understand and see the love of God for us. So I'm going to play it for you. Then I'm going to discuss a few of the things, some of the lyrics that came out of it, and then I'll move on. So if you could dim the lights, and I'll get out of the way, and you can play.
I can see it in your eyes that you're gonna run, you're gonna run. And I can hear it in the way that you speak to me, that you're gonna leave. So you slip away, I will say, as you pack your things, I will sing. Even if you run away from me, over the mountains, through the valleys, I will not rest, but search east and west to bring you back with me. Even if you sail away from me, across the oceans and the seas, I will move again like the mighty wind and blow you back to me. I'm gonna move again like the mighty wind and blow you back to me. Oh, 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 oh. I have seen this all before. It is all too familiar. But you will never see the bottom of my storehouses of love. So as you use the night
to heart. I will walk your way and call your name and wait for your reply. Even if you make up in your mind, you don't wanna be by my side. I will leave behind 99. Only you be mine. I'm gonna leave behind 99.
Listened to this and walked. I was, as I told you where I was, but it was the strangest thing just to be out there, and you know, it was kind of a public place, and to truly feel how much God loved me. All those lyrics in there, and not talk about them, I just was walking and just outdoors, raising my hands, going, how greatly I am loved. What a father I have. And So my thoughts on this song, and you may have your own, you can go listen to it again or not. But I love that the Father sings over us. You know, my kids say that my spiritual gift is lecturing. And it's because I've grown up in the training command of teaching, and everything is a teaching opportunity. But as I look at this song, maybe I should sing a little more. He says, over the mountains and through the valleys, across the oceans and the seas, as a sailor, that strikes home with me. You know, in Psalm 139, it says, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take up the wings as a pilot, yes, of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea on a small ship in the middle of the ocean. Even that, you know, the uttermost parts, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. And the other liquor, I'll never see the bottom of the storehouse of his love. No choice that you or I will make, nor path we take, will ever change his mind. And I don't know about you, but this made me, you know, we all have broken relationships and we carry things in from childhood and maybe adulthood. This struck home because there's been times where someone told you they loved you, and then sometime later they like, I don't love you anymore. God will never do that to us. Never. Never. And I walk your way and call your name and wait for your reply. Gosh, he knows my name. The God of heaven, the creator of all that is, he knows my name. And now they're written, you know, in the palms of his hands. I will leave behind the 99. Oh, that you'd be mine. We're not just a face in the crowd. It's just not this big God who kind of loves us all. He loves me, loves you. He knows our name. He leaves behind the 99 because we're important enough to come and find us. If I stomp and scream and huff, tell God he's not good enough. He will take every swing and every blow until you know my love. If I beat upon my chest and tell him that I don't understand, he will love me and teach me to love him again. If you can't see that in the story of the exile, you know, if you can't see that in our own lives, that we have, you know, your plan's not good. This is cruddy, Lord. And we can say that because it's hard sometimes. And I have this friend I pray for because her daughter is totally beating upon her chest, you know, telling her things like that. So my prayer is that she will know the love of God, this deep, deep love of God, so that she can take the blows and know that God takes them with her, you know, and she can teach her daughter to love him again. So you can see through the prophets that God will teach them to love him again. So this was a special moment for me, and I still cry about it. How can I not? I'm loved completely and lavishly. So now I'm going to share with you an adventure we had this summer. Adventures, usually we use that term in our family when I took a wrong turn and I'm lost. It's adventure. We're on an adventure. So we had some unplanned visits to Colorado Springs. We have a rental home there. So the background on the rental home is that it was our first house together. We bought it under 2 years after we were married. We had our first two children there. A lot of those tender first children memories. And so, you know, it's kind of special to us. I don't think it is anymore after this summer. It's not, but it was. So we were getting ready to rent it again. And my property manager wasn't helping me out. So I called these painters to come paint, and the painters came back and said, "We are not sending a painting crew in there until you remove the carpet. It stinks so bad of urine." So that started, you know, that just, it didn't get any better after that. And it led to, we had a friend that went over and videoed it, and that video made us mad. It both made us cry. But this is what it was. And so we were on this adventure. You know, sometimes God does that. That's not where we were heading this summer. That is not at all where we're heading this summer. And he moved us that way. And why does he move us that way sometimes? Because he loves us. So off we went. David and Jody and I went out to go try and fix the house. While we were there, it's a little overwhelming project. And I don't have those, you know, I didn't build my own house ever before. You know, I was, you know, God is so faithful in these things. He turns us on a corner and we go a different direction, and it's not the best path that we thought. And we're like, God, okay, if we're going to go this way. The guys in, what was it, Exodus 35, I think. 35, where they're building the tabernacle. And so God raises up these people with all sorts of mad skills of building things and weaving things. And I'm like, God, can you bring some of those my way? And he did. And so I'm going to tell you about a few things as I close today. The first was this couple, Tim and Cynthia Fox. That name might sound familiar because he's related to Jim, their brothers. And Tim and I were in our first squadron together. And when you get a brother who loves the Lord in your first squadron, you kind of bond. And we've bonded and we've kept in touch over the years. So anyways, they live out there in this really nice home. And so before we could start working on the house, we needed a place to stay. And so we asked them if I could stay there a couple days until we got the carpet out. Then we'd just camp out at the house and work on it. And so that was the plan. And I think a couple days into it, Cynthia came up to us and she's like, no, this is not right. You're staying here. And so they put us up for 10 days and fed us pretty much every night and loved on us. And but as Cynthia was talking to me and Jody about this, because we, you know, we don't like to accept things sometimes where we feel we're a nuisance. And Cynthia's looking us in the eye the way that Cynthia does. She's like, this is what the body of Christ does. This, you know, she talks about the apostles and Paul come and visit and stay for a year. And this is what the body of Christ does. So it wasn't like they weren't, okay, we'll take care of you. It's like, this is what the body of Christ does. So God loved on us in that way. Then we're in doing stuff in the house. It's, you know, it's kind of a bigger house. It's Colorado, and we were overwhelmed. And so David's over there working with us. He's kind of pooped. And so we're praying for help and someone just to kind of relieve David of, you know, of hanging out in the house. And I have family that lives north and south of there, but they had things going on and couldn't come. And so Jody's praying, you know, for people, some, you know, one of them to come. And who shows up? Tim and Cynthia. And so that scripture of, you know, there's friends that are closer than a brother. So God sends love our way in the form of Tim and Cynthia. And Cynthia takes off David and goes and wines and dines him. Well, no whining because he's like 15, but dines him. And they had some fun together. And Tim stayed with us and he painted for a day and a half. He painted our house. He painted the house. And so who does that? You know, but it's their mindset of this is what the body of Christ does. So God loved on us. And he brought people with skill like Tim's to come in and do that. And then there was this other, I'm making sure I get all the other thing those two did was Tim's a trained coach. He's a really smart guy. He's kind of like Jim, you know, thinker, but big-hearted. And so he's a trained coach. And coaches, our mentors tell you kind of, well, you should do this. You know, coaches kind of bring things out of you to help you figure out what you should do. And so every evening at dinner, Tim's going, so David, and he's asking these questions and they're having these wonderful discussions about great truths and life and stuff. And Jody and I are just sitting at the table marveling. But my daddy heart's going, holy smokes, someone's loving on my boy, you know? And so that's what the body of Christ does. So then there was this other guy named Tim, another Tim, Tim Sennis, and he was one of those guys, totally skilled craftsman in work, and through other contacts, he came and worked for us for a day. He's a neat Christian brother, and come to find out, he and I went to the same high school, and you know, he was a senior when I was a sophomore, and anyway, so he does all this work for us, and then at the end of the day, we're in the kitchen, and Jody and I are overwhelmed with stuff, and he comes in and he's like, can I pray for you guys? So he holds our hands and in the kitchen and we pray and you're like, yes, you can, you know? And so I asked for craftsmen of the Exodus 35 and he brought me a brother who would not only work and help us repair the house, but who would love on us and pray for us. So then, then there were things in us that he changed too, as we were grumpy and frustrated and doing lots of work. I was spending money left and right. Just it's there. The money artery is cut, and I'm bleeding out. And we're realizing that all of this, I'm not going to enjoy any of it. You know, we're not going to live in this house. And so, so God changed our hearts from that attitude of like, to, okay, someone's going to live in this house. Let's pray that it'll be a blessing to them. And so while the carpet was up the padding was up, the day before the carpet guys came, we took our Sharpies and went and prayed over the house and wrote scriptures, you know, on the floor. And just prayed for the people that were going to come and live in this house. Come to find out, we met them the day before we left, and they'd been praying and frustrated and went to church this last day and were giving up. And then they ran into our realtor on the internet, and so our house was an answered prayer to them. Huh, funny, huh? You know? So I was overwhelmed again just by God's love for me and how he loves me. And I was thinking through all this stuff as we're flying back on Frontier from Denver. And I think that was one of the few times I was thankful to have the COVID mask on, because I was just boo-hooing at 35,000 feet, listening to that song in my headphones, thinking how, you know, her lyrics were one way, but I had new lyrics of how God loved me, how he demonstrated his love for me. And it's Jody and I are not special cases. You know, he demonstrates that love for all of us. You know, we start with the cross, as we talked about. So I want to conclude today. I told you a story. I shared with you a song and tried to help you understand what it is to know the love of God. But why? Why? I want to give you some homework. Brett doesn't do this, but Fred Heilman does it all the time at Ironman. He gives us homework because I get a talk next week too. And so the homework is, I told you my story. I told you how God loved on me. I want you to go home and write down how God's loved on you. Because you need to sit with someone, sit with a good friend or a spouse or someone who knows you well. Because if you'll forget, oh yeah, that time when God loved on me, and they won't. Or you won't recognize it as God's loving hand upon you. You may think that wasn't any fun. And they'll say, no, that was God loving on you. So go home and write about it and put it down. Our good friend Fred, who's watching us, so he's been on a project that his daughter gave him for the last 4 years. He's on, you know, Fred's on borrowed time. And it's great. You know, God gave him extra time. And he's 4 years into the last time someone told him he was going to die. And he's chronicling the story for his kids and his grandkids. But I want this for you so that you can look back and go, it's just not something that God did for Jamie and Jody, but that he loves Dick that same way, you know, that he loves Chris, Sharon, the whole family that much. He loves our kids that much, you know, as these kids grow up and they're like, and this world. But he loves my kids that much. So please go take some time, write this down so that you have these stones of remembrance, so that when the days are tough, when we're in those valleys and it's dark, that you can look back and go, oh, just like I told you how I learned to know that God is good, that you can learn to know that know God's love. So there's no doubt about it. Because we're going to talk next week about, so what do we do with that? We've been super fully loved. What next? And that's the whole idea of, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well. Makes me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. All right? Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you that you do love us extravagantly, that you love us completely, that your love for us will never change. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus' death, that in the world's view, it was a catastrophe. In our view, it was the greatest hope and the thing that could ever happen, that we would be loved, that our sins would be forgiven, and that we would be able to have fellowship and know you intimately again, our Creator, Father. And Abba, Abba. Lord, I pray for those who hear that they would know your great love for them, that they would never doubt it. Know that nothing that we could do or say or any course we take will ever change your love for us. Thank you for that great love in Christ Jesus.